Call this meeting to order at 6:30. Is there any public comment regarding closed item sessions? The board will be adjourning to discuss the readmit of one student, public employee discipline, dismissal, release, transfer, appointment pursuant to Government Code Section 54957, and conference with labor negotiators pursuant to Government Code 54957.6. Seeing no one, we will go ahead and adjourn to closed session at 6:31. Okay, we're going to go ahead and call this meeting back to order at 7 o'clock. Is there anybody from the audience that would like to lead us in an invocation? Seeing none, Ms. Polis, could you?
Okay. Dear Lord, be with us this evening as we make the decisions that affect the students in our community. And be with all the teachers, especially at the high school when they're having to take the KC exam and all of the other tests that they'll be having to take very soon. We know that adds a lot of stress, so an extra blessing on them during this time and for the students. In his name we pray. Amen.
Sure. Please join me in the pledge. Ready? Begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please.
Ms. Miranda Jimenez. Ms. Shoemaker.
Here.
Ms. Polis.
Here.
Ms. Cox.
Here.
Mr. Spence.
Here.
Ms. Manahan.
Here.
And Mrs. Kaplan.
Here.
In closed session, the board took the following action. The following student has completed his terms and conditions of expulsion, and it has been approved by the Board of Education for readmission to the West Covina Unified School District. Student number 174164. It was moved by Cami Polis, seconded by Steve Cox. The motion carried 3-0 with two absent, Spence and Eileen Miranda Jimenez. In closed session, the board took action pursuant to Education Code Section 44951 to authorize the superintendent or designee to notify the following certificated administrative employee that they may be released and or reassigned at the conclusion of the school year. Employee ID number BD1288648. It was moved by Cami Polis, seconded by Mr. Cox. The vote was 3-0 with two absent, Mr. Spence and Ms. Miranda Jimenez. Okay, the first item on our agenda is a presentation for Christine Schwann, WCHS Teacher Bravo Award. Ms. Kaplan?
I'm going to ask Mr. Rupacola to come up and talk to us about the Bravo Award and presentation.
Good evening, Board. Good evening, Superintendent. On behalf of Christine, I'm happy to be here and accept the award for her. Unfortunately, she has class tonight, and she's missed quite a few classes because of participating in the Bravo program. But I wanted to give you and the board and obviously the members and our audience a brief description of what it is. The Bravo program is sponsored by the Music Center in Los Angeles, which is what we know as a Disney Music Hall, Disney Music Center. And the program basically fosters arts education in the county of Los Angeles. One of the things that they have as a pillar is making sure that regardless of budget cuts, regardless of what's happening with a financial crisis in the state, that teachers don't suffer, our teachers don't suffer, and students don't suffer from loss of those financial resources in terms of art education. So Christine participated in a cohort of teachers in the county that actually was able to collaborate with one another in terms of art education. She was assigned a master teacher. They visited each other's classroom, and they submitted a video to the Music Center for nomination for the Bravo Award. She was actually a nominee, and a few weeks ago we attended the ceremony, which was hosted by Gary Marshall. So there were a lot of teachers there that were recognized for their achievement and for their efforts in terms of art education, and Christine was one of them. She did prepare a video that I wanted to show the board, but the website has been brought down so that the entries for next year can be uploaded, but we didn't have that. I will make sure that I will forward it to the superintendent, and she shares it with the board members at their leisure. So what Christine does is one of many things that we're very proud of at West Covina High School, which is the fact that we can offer all of the programs and the available, the needs that our students have in terms of a comprehensive program. So we're very, very proud of that. We're very proud of Christine. So on behalf of her, I would like to accept the award, and I thank you very much for the recognition to the high school and to her in particular.
Thank you. Thank you. Does any member of the board have a report? Mr. Spence?
Well, I think we should also point out that Eileen's not here because she's been hospitalized and she could use prayers and stuff as well. That's the reason she's not here today. So, very serious.
I just wanted to say that our superintendent had the opportunity to go to Lyons, and she did a great job. And one of the concerns of the Lyons was to keep art in the schools. So it's wonderful to hear that there's associations out there that are willing to support our teachers so we can continue to have these great programs that we do in our district, and we know it is something our community really wants to continue. So thank you for that report, and I'm so glad Christine had taken that opportunity to do that.
Student report.
Good evening. I'm going to start with Edgewood High School tonight. Currently, all their sophomores are taking the KC test today and tomorrow, and they're continuing to build their relationship with their alumni association. So they just had their sixth meeting last Saturday, and the alumni are invited current Edgewood High School students to be a part of their SOC hop, and they're also having a career day on May 21st. And they're continuing their production of The Wiz, which is a district-wide production. And opening day is on the 22nd, so they're very excited for that. They're also rehearsing Romeo and Juliet, which is their second play of the year, and everyone is looking forward to their spring break. baseball, softball, swim, tennis, and track season officially began for them, and they're competing with other schools. And their Interact is continuing to work for Relay for Life, and they're now working with Invisible Children. And their school is having a fundraiser where some of their staff has volunteered to work at McDonald's to serve anyone who comes to visit them. And so everyone is invited to that. It is the McDonald's on Hacienda Boulevard, and it's May 14th from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. Coronado High School.
Tomorrow.
Oh, it's tomorrow, March 14th. March 14th. Sorry about that. For Coronado, their seniors and sophomores are also taking the KC test today and tomorrow. And 20 students as of today have met the qualifications for graduation. Oh. And they are finalizing their plans for grad night at Disneyland for June 7th. And they're having parent conferences to hand out progress reports on Thursday, March 22nd at 6 o'clock. And a few Coronado students, along with Mr. Glickman, spent their past Saturday working with Amigos de los Rios, cleaning up the bike trail at the Peck Water Conservation Park in Arcadia. And they were mentioned in the San Gabriel Valley Tribune. So that's really exciting. Basketball and soccer season concluded, and their soccer won their very last game 7-0 and finished undefeated their whole season. For West Covina, we're also taking the KC test today and tomorrow, and we recently received our full six-year accreditation from WASC, so everyone's really excited about that, and we're really proud of our teachers and our whole school for that. It's really exciting, and we're currently working on our all-school video, which this is our third annual. Last year, we had about 500 students in it, and our goal this year is hopefully 1,000, so we're filming that Tuesday. Our choir just had their spring concert at Bethany Baptist Church this past Friday, and they did amazing, such a good show. And this past Saturday, one of our newer clubs that just started towards the end of last year, NEHS, had their Read Across America Day for Dr. Seuss, and so we invited kindergartners and some young students to come and participate in Dr. Seuss activities, and it was a really good turnout. I'm so proud of them for it. It was being their first event, and it was amazing. It was really cute, and so they're planning on continuing that every year. And lastly, we're just planning our Sadies, which will be next Saturday in our gym, So everyone's really excited about that. Thank you.
Thank you.
President Shoemaker? Yes. I think Megan forgot to mention that she's being honored on March 23rd as one of the Senator Hernandez's Woman of Achievement Award winners, really? The Emergent Leader.
Oh, no. Wow. Awesome.
Congratulations. You embarrassed her.
Congratulations beforehand.
It's okay, you'll get used to it. Okay, the next item on the agenda is items from the floor public comment. I have received one blue card from David Bagey.
Good evening. I'm the president of the TAWC Teachers Association, and I come before you tonight at the direction of our board of directors. We are aware that it is proposed that there will be some possible staff reductions. We know that the board and the district have looked very hard into this. We're just asking that as soon as things settle down. I know you have to notify people for protection on both sides. We're just asking that in a very positive, very quick way, as soon as you know that people can be restored to their positions, that you restore them as quickly as possible. I appreciate the very openness, communication between TALK and the district. I appreciated meeting with Mrs. Kaplan and Mr. Seaman. They went over with myself and another member of our association board the possibilities. They looked at it very, very in a very positive way. We're all on the same page. We want to affect the least amount of people possible. And I know your decisions are not easy. And we just ask that you follow the Ed Code and that you return people to positions as soon as possible. And the other reason why I'm here, as a member of our association, myself and officers of our board will be visiting all open houses. This last week we visited three. We were at Monta Vista, Cameron, and Vine, and it was very nice to see all the wonderful things going on there. So thank you again. And I appreciate this opportunity to speak on the behalf of the teachers that may be affected. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Okay. I have received one more blue card. It's from Alicia Portillo Reyes, and so you may come up to speak. I would just caution you about employees' rights and know that the board cannot respond.
I understand. Well, I wrote a statement in order to keep on topic because emotions are running high over at Monta Vista right currently. We're here today. We have some parents here from Monta Vista that are here today to support our teacher that means a lot to our children, our school, and our community. Ms. Lawson has been a teacher for 14 years and has been an asset to Monta Vista Elementary. In recent days, there have been several allegations as to her actions towards some students. Rumors include that she pushed a child, tackled a child, and pushed one on the back of the head. After some research, it has become apparent that these allegations are false. Being a teacher is hard work and even harder when students lack manners. The school district has done its own investigation and found no wrongdoing. Even in a court of law, a judge has found no wrongdoing. The question here is simple. Why are we allowing disrespectful children to change the dynamic of our school and ruin the career of a teacher? During these events and false allegations, one of the parents has come to our school and threatened the life of Ms. Lawson in front of students. In doing so, she has threatened the well-being of all of the students, all our children. What is the school district doing to protect our children from this parent? We as parents that hear those kinds of threats want that parent to be removed. Every day in the news, you hear about shootings on school campuses. Does this parent have to act in order for the district to ask this parent to leave? We know by public record that the parent in question has a criminal record. We also know this parent is new to our community and has moved from school to school. We have never had to face this type of situation on our campus. Then there's educational minutes. The district has failed to preserve the educational minutes of the rest of the children in Ms. Lawson's class. Although a permanent sub has been hired, it is not the same as if the teacher who started the job finished the job. Our children are miserable and being affected by her absence and the future outcome. Also, what message are we sending to the rest of the students in her class? Making up lies will get you what you want? We believe that parents should have the right to protect their children, but in this case, these parents are sending their children the wrong message about respect, ruining the lives of other students in the classroom, and ruining the life of a great teacher who at most should have been possibly suspended without pay. Maybe. What are these parents' motives? We recently heard that they are taking their story to the media. They should realize that we as parents are willing to stand behind West Covina Unified School District and its teachers. They should exercise caution when making slanderous accusations. We want Ms. Lawson to return to school immediately, to continue to educate our children the way she has been doing so, and not allow these parents to bully our district and our school into making the wrong decisions. After all, we are a bully-free district, and we should stand for nothing else except for what is fair. And that's from us over at Monta Vista.
Thank you. At this time, I have no other blue cards. Is there anybody who would like to address the board? Okay, seeing none, we will move on to the business session of the meeting. Okay, approval of agenda and consent items. Are there any items that a board member would like to add to the consent calendar? Any to remove?
I'd like to amend one, number 20 on the award of E-rate. It's really prepared by Ellie Valentine at Services. Just change the name on that.
Okay.
Where? Oh, okay. I want to take off item number 6.
Anything else? Number 6. Okay, do I have a motion to move the consent calendar and agenda as amended?
So moved.
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Motion carries 4-0 with one absent. Okay. The next item is item number 5, an information report presentation of the China conference. Ms. Kaplan?
Thank you. We're actually very excited to have the opportunity to share our experience with the board and our audience tonight. As you know, we were contacted by a non-for-profit Chinese organization called Chinese Foundation for Teacher Development, who works with the American Education Foundation and actually sponsors delegations to China. We were selected. The purpose of this delegation was to promote academic exchange and build school relationships between the two nations. I was asked to select 3 principals to go with us, and as you know, our 3 principals are here tonight to help with the presentation. We visited 4 schools in 4 different cities during the time that we were there. We presented to administrators, teachers, students, and representatives from the Bureau of Education. All the schools that we visited were really committed to teaching English at the primary level, and the majority of the students that we talked to had fluency and were able to communicate with us, as well as many of the teachers. We went on many excursions. Each school took us on an excursion and sent us with teachers of English in the school, and so we had the opportunity for more intimate conversations with them during these excursions, and every school had a dinner with us, with their headmaster, their administrators, and with the Bureau of Education. So again, we had opportunities to talk on many levels about education in America and in China, what we have in common, and what are some of the struggles that we have. So we're very excited to share this with you. We would like to start with a PowerPoint of pictures, and then we'll all just give a few comments about what we gained from the experience. Okay. Like each of our principals to give their feelings about what they learned and what they gave them.
Well, first of all, I would like to say thank you to the board and Superintendent Kaplan for inviting me on this trip. It was a once-in-a-lifetime trip, both professionally and personally. And we gained a great deal from it, but as you can see, they were as curious about us as we were about them. So I'm going to give you just a brief overview of some of the disfundamentals of school in China. And they're organized first with the Ministry of Education. And that is the governing body that oversees all of education in China and all aspects of their educational system. They are the ones that certify the teachers, they standardize curriculum and methods, they establish the standards and monitor the education system in an effort to modernize China through education. And it stresses technological education over some of the more esoteric subjects. So under the Ministry of Education, then, is the Bureau of Education, which is, I would say, more similar to our county office, perhaps. And then within that, there is the individual schools. There's a headmaster or principal of each school. He's called the headmaster. But he is not necessarily a teacher, nor has been, because education in China is very much a business. So many of the headmasters have been appointed, and they're appointed by the Bureau of Education. But all of the schools have multiple assistant principals and multiple directors operating similar to what we have here at the district. And the actual running of the schools is performed day-to-day, mostly by the assistant principals. The teachers have a very strong preparation in one single subject, starting in elementary school, unlike our multiple subject credentials. And they spend a great deal of time studying with a master teacher and experiencing the classroom before ever being left on their own. And then they work with a master teacher planning lessons and improving lessons before they're ever sent out to the schools. And they were very surprised that we, as elementary teachers, teach 6 to 7 subjects and are certified in those subjects, where they're only certified in one and the kids change classes starting in kindergarten. They were also very surprised that our class size was only 20 or 32, because to them, class size reduction was 38.
Wow.
The average class was 60. And the class that you saw in one of the PowerPoint presentations was 81. In a class not much bigger than our classrooms. So they're very well packed into those classrooms. And the smallest school that we visited was 3,000. And this was an elementary or primary school, as they call it. It was just K-6. And some of the middle schools and high schools went up to 5,000-plus students. Whether it was private or public, it was typical of all of the schools to have somewhere between 3,000 and 5,000 students. And I might add that all of these schools are 6 and 8 stories high, no elevators. We got a workout. And the weather was like in the 30s when we went, and the schools are not air conditioned or heated either. So it was quite chilly in the cold, in the inside the classrooms. Their instructional day was 8 to 10 hours long.
Wow.
This is the regular school day from about 8 to 4, but then after school, everyone stays and they take the extra classes that might be the music, the art, and the fine arts. So they're at school anywhere from 8 in the morning to 6 or 7 at night. We were leaving one school at 7 o'clock, as so were the students. And they were quite in awe of our six-hour day. That got quite a chuckle out of the whole audience, mostly the students. The Chinese teachers and administrators were very interested in our instructional strategies because with 60, 80 kids in the classroom, their mode of delivering the lessons is through lecture. And one of the schools even had actually used thinking maps, but was not having a great deal of success. So they were very interested in our presentation and how to further expand their professional development with thinking maps. And it caught my attention because we were at the primary school, and the headmaster asked a question. But before he did, I got a look at his notepad. And before he said anything, I said, he's taken notes on a thinking map. And sure enough, that's what he said, that they had started thinking maps and were very interested in our success with them. We also shared how we make sure that students are engaged in their learning. This was very fascinating to them, again, with their lecture style, that our students were engaged in the instructional process, and they got very excited when they learned that we do a great deal of our instructional delivery through partners and through group work, because the kids really liked this idea. In China, it's highly encouraged. It is policy that families only have one child, and all of their efforts are put into this one child. So at school, this means that their classmates are not only their friends, but they also serve as their siblings. And so they are very much like a family and help one another at school. At one of the schools, the students were paired with a lower performing student and a higher performing student. And it was the higher performing student's responsibility to make sure that this other student understood the day's lessons. Again, with 60 to 80 in a class, that's hard to do. So they were responsible for one another, and it was nice to see. And it was very close-knit classrooms. Parent involvement was of great interest as well, because it's 7 o'clock in the morning, it's 35 degrees, parents and children are all bundled up from head to toe, and the children are riding on the back of a bicycle, or being pulled behind a bicycle, or riding on a moped or a scooter, being taken to school, and they'll ride several miles to school to get there at 8 o'clock. And then the parents return about 7 o'clock at night to pick them up. So getting parents involved in the school was of great interest. They liked the idea of site council. They liked the idea of coffee with the principal and the family events that we had. So they were very excited about trying a few of those to try and get parents to come and be part of the school. Transportation, and then again, this would be a cultural change for them. This is not something that they're used to doing. So as a result of this trip, you know, what do I take back and what do I see as our next steps at, say, Cameron School? Well, being an elementary school, some of the teachers at Cameron are very interested in starting to be pen pals or email pals with some of the primary schools that we visited in China, as they were very eager to, and we've heard from some of them already, to be pen pals or email pals as well. And as we move on into 21st century skills from an elementary standpoint, we want to lay the foundation for where they're going to be headed in middle school and high school. So as the core standards come across to the teachers and we are intensifying the study in, say, social studies and science and so on. Some of the projects and the project-based learning that we will do in elementary school, we can take on a more of a global aspect rather than just focusing, say, on the state of California or the United States. As part of that project-based learning, we can look and do a comparison with some of our email pen pals of what it might be like in China in comparison to, say, California, sort of broaden their horizons at an elementary level and set the foundation and get them ready for where they're going to head for middle school and high school with being global citizens and global learning. So I have some very excited teachers at Cameron that are anxious to start the sister school and make a connection now. And so we can hardly wait for those plans to get set into place. So again, thank you very much for this opportunity.
Just as Cheryl, I also would like to thank the board and also Mrs. Kaplan for this great opportunity that you guys provided to us. I have shared with several people before that I have traveled to various countries in the world and also had the opportunity to work with other students and visited schools. But this experience was definitely at most the best in looking at the schools and looking at educational programs. So I definitely want to thank you once again and thank Ms. Kaplan for this great opportunity. One of the things that I did grasp from the Chinese education system is that it is extremely highly valued, that they value education at most. You're looking from the government allocating plenty of funds. As you see, they funded this program and this excursion, and not only us, but they also fund other groups. Right before us, our interpreter had already worked with the group from San Diego. So, and they're doing this on a frequent basis. As Cheryl said, teachers are highly qualified. That they're at most respected, not only by their colleagues, but also by the community as well as the students. The collaboration amongst the schools and the administrators and the teachers is also extremely encouraged. We were talking to the principals, and they're saying they're meeting with other principals. They send out teachers to other school sites and observe classrooms. They're talking amongst themselves, and they do a lot of planning together. The professional development is at all levels, since the beginning of the induction program all the way through, 10, 15 years down the road. Interestingly enough, they do what we call our T-scape lesson studies. So as Ms. Lesker was saying, they collaborate and develop lessons and go and teach and observe and come back and collaborate again and refine those lessons. So they're doing the same exact process as we were. And this is a side note from this, but after four different presentations that we did, I know that Ms. Kaplan, Mr. Trevatori, and Ms. Lesker, we did a lesson study ourselves, because after each presentation, we would sit down during dinner or in the hotel's lobby area, and we say, okay, how did it go today? And let's refine our presentations, and let's change this slide, so let's change what we're going to say. So as the presentations progress, our fourth lesson, I think we nailed it, and we hit the target. So that was definitely a lesson study for us. Researching, it is what they're doing just as we are. They're very much interested in how to teach students to be 21st century skills, and how do we teach them, and how do we teach them to communicate and collaborate and be those critical thinkers and creative as well. So they're also looking for those avenues to teach those students those critical thinking skills as we are. Ms. Leckers mentioned about the school and how the teachers are valued. Well, I asked several students, and their response about their teacher was, she's like a mom to us. She's our second mom. We're with them all day long, and that's mom. And my peers are brothers and sisters to us. So as she was saying, the same concept throughout. And as we're walking through the schools, they're definitely very impeccable. Children actually clean after themselves. And there was a couple of pictures that I took that we did not show here. But during lunchtime, after lunchtime, these children were in the drinking fountain washing their dishes, and they do that on a day-to-day basis. So it's like, wow, that was just a change of mindset, we'll say. Compulsory education, all children are required to attend school. up to eighth grade. Surprisingly enough, there's no suspensions or expulsions held at all or given to students. And that was one of the things that we asked some of the administrators. So what do you do if you have a student that is disruptive in the class? What do you do if there's an altercation in the class or what it may be in the playground? And they say, well, we talk to him and we discipline him, yet we cannot suspend him. We cannot send him home. We cannot expel them. It is our duty, and they need their education. So they find other ways to discipline students rather than sending them home and expelling and so forth. So that definitely was an eye-opener to us. They definitely focus since kindergarten on moral education and good conduct. That is one, it's a subject to them, actually. You know, it is part of the curriculum. It is not like we have, we teach those same skills and those values, but it is integrated within our lessons. They actually have a set curriculum. And so it was that was a little different to us. As Ms. Leisiger mentioned, they do provide, even though they have a long day all the way to 6 or 7 in the evening, they do provide those extracurricular activities, sports, you know, the arts, the music, and so forth. So they still embed those within the school day. And one thing is that each individual school is highly, highly competitive amongst other schools. So that was interesting also. And one of the reasons for that is because they don't have like what we have here as far as open enrollment. You know, we have inter-district permits and intra-district permits that we allow students to go from one school to another school. Well, if a child wishes to go to this school and that is not the residing school, they must pay that tuition to go to that school. Yet it is free education, FAPE, as we have, but if they go to a school that is not within the residing area, they must pay that tuition to that school. So, you know, you have a lot of competition amongst the schools. They want to have the best programs. They want to have the most academic achievement because of that. There's no tuition paid, yet the families do need to purchase the textbooks, and they need to purchase the materials for students. So that was a little different. They do have subsidized programs for families that can't afford these materials and textbooks. They also have a lot of private and boarding schools, which that incurs some tuition costs, and that is the responsibility of the family. However, families who do qualify due to financial hardships, they may receive those subsidized funds to send them to these boarding schools and private schools. And then talking about the equity and access, surprisingly enough, you know, they do educate special education children or students with disabilities, yet they house them at different school sites. Mm-hmm. So they don't integrate them the way we do. That was a little different to us. There is an entrance exam to the high school. Students, you know, go to school from kindergarten all the way to eighth grade. Then they take this exam. And that is your Y factor, where either you go to high school and college prep curriculum or you go to the vocational schools. You know, so it all depends on this exam that they take at the end of the eighth grade. And some of the vocational schools may train them for employment, for the Army, apprentice to a trade, or so forth. And again, these vocational schools are totally funded by the state. You know, through this experience that we had the opportunity to go to, we definitely learned plenty of it. And coming back to our school sites, as Ms. Lesko said, what are our next steps? What did we do with what we gained? And there's a few things. Definitely a sisterhood of school. You know, can we learn from one another and collaborate and on instructional practices with other educators and other administrators? They are looking for ways, as I said before, to teach the students the 21st century skills. Well, who's going to find them first, they or we? Or can we collaborate together and make that happen for both? We could definitely provide our students the opportunity to communicate and collaborate with Chinese students and to enhance their knowledge on global awareness and be global citizens. And I think that is one of the key points that I would definitely, you know, like to see at Holland Crest, where we could have those connections and we could communicate and have our students communicate as well, and they could collaborate on different projects or what it may be. But I think that those connections will be definitely a positive thing for us. And then the student exchange programs, can that be possible? Can we have some students, you know, exchange from China over here or from here to out there. I mean, there's definitely organizations out there that are already doing this. As I mentioned earlier, I have worked with People-to-People International Ambassadorial Program for the past 10 years, and I have traveled with up to 40, 45 students, ages from 5th grade all the way to 12th grade. So there's programs out there already. Can we also implement some of those programs here at West Covina Unified? And lastly, I think one of the great things that we can also offer our students at Holland Crest would probably be an elective course in Mandarin. So with this, I'll leave you. I want to definitely thank the board for this great opportunity. I want to thank Ms. Kaplan for this opportunity as well. Thank you.
Like my colleagues, I'd also like to extend gratitude to all of you for providing us this opportunity, Ms. Kaplan as well. I'll try to keep my remarks as succinct and brief as possible. One of the observations I took back was that there seemed to be an intense value of the American educational system across the board. This was readily apparent when we were receiving the questions from the educators and the students. In particular, they really liked our focus, as we call them here in the United States, on 21st century skills and application of skill sets, looking at problem solving, creativity, and whatnot. One of the administrators of one of the schools we had visited had characterized their students as test-taking machines, and they felt that that was sort of the downfall of their educational system, and they were looking at implementing reforms, specifically what we're doing here in the United States. Also, I found this to be extremely ironic is China, you know, leads the world in many respects in the manufacturing of technology. Of course, they export it. However, we don't see it infused in the curriculum there. So all the classes we visited, and that was just sheer irony. So I think we're doing it right in the United States. And, of course, we're not using technology to substitute for quality instruction but to enhance learning, et cetera. So I think that was kind of sort of validation for us seeing that, but also irony for them. Another piece, of course, which my colleagues had expressed is the focus on second language acquisition in the primary schools. And it was really impressive to see kindergartners and first grade students already developing fluency in another language, particularly English. And I think that's something we need to look at in the United States. I'm not a psychologist, but I have done reading that age 13 is that critical age, where after that it's very difficult for a human to develop full fluency in another language. Well, why is it here in the United States? Look at the Cal State A through G requirements. We don't start second language instruction until high school, maybe even eighth grade. So I think we've got it backwards in that regard. Another thing is that the educators expressed what I kind of would characterize as kind of universal challenges to meet the needs of varied learners in our classrooms. So they, of course, acknowledge that all kids learn at different rates and paces, et cetera. So a lot of their pointed questions were on what instructional strategies can utilize. And I kind of thought, wow, it's universal. You know, that's something that we continue to perfect and refine as educators for our entire career. Kind of looking at what we can take back here to the United States, in particular my school, we're really trying in earnest to infuse globalism and international mindedness in the curriculum at Edgewood High School, particularly with the IB program. But I'm looking at focusing on our students taking 4 years of a second language versus just the minimum of 2 required for Cal State UC admissions. Also, of course, as they had mentioned, fostering student-on-student contacts via pen pal, email, et cetera. I think that'd be a great enrichment opportunity for our kids. Also, of course, developing an exchange program, much like West Covina High School does with their Japanese sister school, looking to move forward with that. And also with our teachers, there are IB schools in China, so looking at kind of fostering that relationship as well and getting that dialogue going with our IB teachers at Edgewood High School. And, of course, we're always looking at integrating our focus on diversity of cultures and different perspectives globally. Of course, not just local and national, to enhance our students' learnings. And again, more validation and affirmation, I'm looking at the fact that we are student-centered in what we do in our educational system, and theirs is more teacher-centered, so they want to move towards our focus, which I think was, again, validation for us. Also, again, their focus is now moving towards application of skills versus just regurgitation of knowledge and facts when test time comes around. And they were really impressed by some of the information we provided them in the way of project-based learning and, again, application of skills and the 21st century skills. So, again, on behalf of my colleagues and Ms. Kaplan, you know, we appreciate this opportunity, and thank you.
I'd just like to end with what my big aha was on this trip. I've been an educator for a long time. We've been talking a lot in education about being a global citizen, and I don't know that I really had a good definition of what that was or what that meant in terms of helping our students. And I think we really experienced global citizenship when we were there. We went to another country. We have different governments. We did not speak the same language. At least the most of the people that we were dealing with, we had to have interpreters. But we were all educators, and we all had that in common. And we struggled. We had struggles. We talked about issues that we all struggle with, which we had common. We talked about things that we're doing where we've solved some problems. But it was really a good collaboration, and it was really not about two nations. It was really about educators trying to solve problems that we have, because we all are responsible for developing the future leaders of this world. So for me, I feel like I walked away, and I do understand what it means to be a global citizen, and I do understand what it means to collaborate in outside of the walls of our district or our state or our country, and I feel like I have a better vision for what we want for our students. So thank you again. We do appreciate the opportunity, and we hope that others in our district will have the same opportunity that we did. Thank you.
The next item on our agenda is the consultant services agreement. Mr. Spence, you asked for this to be removed from consent?
I had asked actually a question earlier of the superintendent about hiring consultants to teach these particular sections when we have teachers that are supposed to be able to do that, and I'm just trying to figure, do you get an answer to that? Or?
I asked Ellen. I'm looking for the resources. Certainly, I can. Mr. Black, his services would be an enhancement to the program. He's a square dance caller, so when he comes for the PE classes during that dance unit, he's only there for a portion of it when they do the square dancing, and he does live calling. The students have instruction both before and after in dance. Dance is the one visual arts and physical education standard that overlaps. So they do have instruction from their regular PE teachers. This is really an enhancement to that program.
Okay, yeah, because here it doesn't mention the standards dealing with PE. It just mentions the music standards, right? So, okay. Yeah, because you're telling me it's more than just these standards that are listed here then. Is that right?
Well, there are particular standards in physical education
that this complies with.
And visual arts that mm-hmm. overlap, and it's in the area of dance, mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. that's what this is. Listed here, I believe. Well, I'll have to see. I think these are the PE standards.
What says music?
It's basic square
dance. No, right here. I'm looking at this right here. What we're moving is a little different. Okay. I'll go ahead and move the item, although I don't think the stuff about the I'll just move the item, but I don't think it's complete. The motion's complete, but I'll go ahead and move it.
I'll second it.
All in favor? Opposed? Motion carries 4-0 with one absent. The next item on the agenda is course outlines. First reading, Ms. Kaplan.
This evening, we're bringing before the board for first reading 11 course outlines for our high schools. These are for grades 9 to 12. Three of them are electives, and eight of them are courses developed specifically for the IB diploma program. I would like to acknowledge and thank the work of many of the Edgewood teachers who developed these course outlines. It was really a product of the process of the last 2 years of professional development and working with colleagues from other IB programs. Assistant Principal Sonia Gonzalez sort of did the coordinating and organizing of these outlines. All of the outlines have been shared with the District Curriculum Advisory Committee. That committee met in December. The parents who were present at that December meeting were Alba Kondo, Debbie Kwan, and Jacqueline Luna. I do want to also share with the board that shortly we will be bringing to you the outlines for three other program requirements, not credit-bearing courses, but program requirements, which are a central part of the diploma program, the theory of knowledge, the creativity, action, and service, and the extended essay. So those will be coming to you shortly, as will recommendations for instructional materials will come to you later in the spring. If there's any questions, I can try to respond to them, or perhaps have some of the Edgewood staff.
Any questions?
Yeah. I have some questions on some of them.
Mr. Spence?
Well, just one comment on the sports, entertainment, and marketing is that some of those skills that are in there I know are, I don't know if there's any coordination that can be done with ROP, because obviously there are some stuff that's already a part of that. So just part of that.
Yes.
That's just a comment, I guess. And then on the IB biology unit, it didn't mention our policies dealing with reproduction and how it's taught, you know, when it's taught and the consent that's required.
At the high school level, human reproduction and related subjects are taught in the health class,
mm-hmm.
not in the IB, not in the biology course.
It has part of it here. Talks about that. Let me find it. Where it talked about human reproduction, 6.6 page.
Mr. Bernard, who developed the outline, I think can respond.
My name is Mr. Rick Bernard, biology teacher at Edgewood High School. It would basically coincide with the board policy of permission required slips to go along with that. It would be something that would be opt out for those students who wish, parents wish not to partake in that. But it's just one of the guidelines under IB of skill set of knowledge that they would have to know, and they could do alternative assignments related to that.
You mean opt in?
Or opt out.
Yeah, we would opt in, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, that's fine. I just want to make sure that,
sure.
you know, because it's not mentioned here, and I think sometimes
sure.
that stuff gets overlooked sometimes when we talk about that. I talked to an administrator today, didn't know that we had a policy like that. So. So that's the only thing I noticed in here is that there's no, that has to be part of it. But yeah, it was 6.6 is where it talks about it. So it's taught here as well then, and the health class, is that correct? Then?
Yes.
Would you like it actually added to the course outline, or is the understanding that they will follow district policy?
Well, just something, you know, just, I think, you know, to make sure, I just want to make sure that it's being followed, our policies are being followed.
Okay. So do you want it added, or just the understanding?
Yeah, I mean, if there's a way to put it in here, I mean, there is stuff here in here about the stuff that's going to be approved, you know, the actual, I guess, supplemental instructional materials, you know, something in there too, you know, the whatever. Mm-hmm. Follow board policy stuff, that's fine. Something like that should be fine. And then, I don't even put that away. Driving up the wall. Okay, and then I have a really strong objection, in the IB Spanish course, SL, and that's the use of motorcycle diaries and the glorification of Che Guevara, who basically was a communist thug that murdered hundreds of people, supervised labor camps, you know, confiscated land, shot peasants, shot anyone who disagreed with his particular Marxist ideology, you know, negotiated putting missiles in Cuba, fomented revolutions in Nicaragua, Congo, all over the place that led to more and more people being murdered, and for him to be held up and studied in a class that somehow it reflects freedom and diversity, I think, you know, it cries out to be called what it is, a shame. I mean, commies aren't cool. I know people love it. You know, they like wearing thing. I don't think they understand that he's a murderer and has caused a lot of death. And it would almost be like if we talk about biology, we would have stuff in there, the works of Dr. Mengele. You know, he's someone that's not worthy of being held up as an example of freedom because he was an enemy of freedom and an enemy of free thought. And to celebrate him, you know, is, to me, abhorrent. So I really objected to that.
Well, I think perhaps Mrs. Gonzalez can speak to sort of the process of developing these. But IB does not necessarily require any set of books or particular materials. There are options. We do have, you know, we do create our own course outlines. So I don't think that this particular extract from this particular book is something that is in any way required. I could certainly work with the staff to identify other pieces of literature in Spanish, perhaps.
I mean, because if the purpose is to study Spanish, there's obviously lots of other works, you know, that could be done. If people want to study, you know, a Che Guevara, I have no problem with that, you know, and I can introduce them to somebody whose cousin was murdered by him because he got locked up for being a Christian in Cuba after the revolution. So, I mean, I don't have a problem having a frank discussion about that. But, you know, I think the way this is presented is just to teach Spanish is a way to glorify someone who does not deserve it.
Yes, for me. Ms. Polis?
I don't see where you where you're seeing this as part of the texts that are...
Oh, okay. It would be on page, be on links to TOK 4.
Oh, all right.
Customs and Traditions.
Oh, so this is part of this individual book?
For Spanish, yeah.
No, I'm sorry. Is this a... This is the contents of that book, and it talks about Che Guevara.
Well, it's about... It's written by him.
He mentioned in two places?
Then? I mean, we could put all his other... He was actually a very prolific writer. He wrote about all his killings. So, I mean, we could put... I don't have a problem with people reading that in Spanish, too, then. You know, if it's going to be balanced. He was very prolific in what he wrote.
I understand. But are we talking about this entire book, this textbook?
Manana? It's not a textbook.
The Manana textbook has a unit number 6 about Che Guevara.
I'm talking about option number 1 under 4, links to TOK.
They're not page numbers.
Yeah, they're not page numbers, but it's towards the back.
It's item 4, though.
3 pages from the back.
Oh, I see.
Links to TOK.
Links
yeah.
to TOK.
You know, there has to be other ways to explore the links between the 4 ways of knowing reason, emotion, perception, and language, you know, as part of language acquisition, than to, because it sounds more like it should be something that would be in a social studies class. But
it's also under core social relationships,
mm-hmm.
the section of the book.
So, I mean, I just have real strong objections to the glorification of that.
Direction from the board that you'd like us to look at another piece of literature?
Yes.
For the same, to try to get with the same issues that they're trying to bring up?
Okay.
Okay. Any other questions, comments?
Well, I just wanted to make one comment. I thought that you could see all the time and effort that went into this, and I just appreciate all of that, and I'm assuming that it was all approved already by the IB. So any changes that we make would have to be then sent back to them to be reapproved. And is that correct?
I think any changes that we
Because we've already been IB authorized. Any changes that we make to it is at the discretion of the school and the school board.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. So we're okay.
Great. I just didn't want to hold that up. But thank you for all of that. And then on the environmental sciences, it talks about what it takes to go into the field. And one of the things we were trying to find out what the community wants to happen for our schools, and what came up in Lyons is they felt that students really needed to see the correlation of what they were learning and how that was going to affect them later on. And one of the things was algebra, so I don't know how they could write something about algebra that same way. But I thought they did a great job in this environmental science on why you needed to take it and what you needed to, what classes you needed, what you needed, background you needed to have to go into that field. So maybe if students had a better idea in all of their courses how to do that, they'd be more motivated. But I know that Lyons felt strongly that if students could see the correlation of what they needed to take and how that would affect their lives. So but just thank you for all you did.
I just want to say that I was really impressed with the selection from higher level to standard level and the math studies, especially the math. You hit every level for every kind of student, and I look at this curriculum and really probably every one of your students could find a math class that would meet their needs, but also the IB math courses really delve really deep into the understanding of math concepts mm-hmm. and the application to the life. So I commend you for not just looking at a standard level your first year out. I think you've taken on quite a challenge, but I like the fact that you have three levels in the math.
Oh, yes, I did.
Thank you very much. Our teachers worked very, very hard on these course outlines, so thank you for that acknowledgement.
Okay, do I have a... well... For the Spanish SL, are we going to do this as approving for first reading with the changes?
We take it out. I'm not sure that we can have that for you in 2 weeks. So I think maybe it's better to take that one. So.
No problem. Okay. Do I have a motion to approve the course outlines for first reading as presented, removing the IB Spanish SL course outline?
I'll move that.
And it's going to be changes in the other one, the minor one. In the biology one, right? That can be, yeah.
I can have that by on the 27th. Okay.
I'll second it if that's the case.
Mm-hmm. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Seconded? Mike. Seconded.
Kemi moved it, right?
Kemi moved it. Mr. Spence seconded. Opposed? Hearing none. Motion carries 4-0 with one absent. Okay, the next item on the agenda is number 11, which is a resolution regarding a reduction or discontinuance of particular kinds of service. Is there any discussion on this? Do I have a motion?
I'll move.
A second?
I'll second it. I just wanted to make the comment that we do value all of our staff, and it's very difficult when we have to make changes that might displace somebody. And we've talked a lot about that. Mr. Beggy's not here anymore, but I wanted him to know that we take it very seriously when changes have to be made.
Well, the only comment I want to make is that we did lay off, or the board laid off a few years ago, about 40 classified employees. But I think, what bothers me when I hear about other school districts that are laying off people is they'll issue, 400 pink slips and then, take 399 back, and I think that is something that, whether they're doing it for political reasons or whatever, I think that's wrong to notice employees that that you're not going to really, I think that plays with people, and that's wrong. And so I'm glad this is very limited as far as that kind of scope.
I'd just like to respond to that because that was a very difficult decision for us this year with the fear that the tax initiatives will not be passed in the middle of the year. You would have to lay people off, and in order to do that, we'd have to let people know now. So it was a mm-hmm. conscious decision for us not to do that and to look for other ways of trying to address that issue.
Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries 4-0 with one absent. Okay, item number 12, the job description revisions. Are there any questions regarding this item? Seeing none, is there a motion?
I'll move it.
A second?
A second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries 4-0 with one absent. Item number 13 is the calendar for 2012-13. Ms. Kaplan, would you like to speak on this item since we have a couple of options before us?
Yes, and I'm actually going to ask Mr. Seaman to talk to this.
Okay.
Agenda item 13 is for the student calendar for 2012-2013 school year. And as we've done in the past, we form a calendar committee that consists of both of our unions, the CSEA and teachers union, so TOC and CSEA Chapter 91, administrators from all levels, and a parent representative. After that committee meets and discusses the calendar options, then we ask the principals to talk to their parent constituents, PTSA, school site council, and survey parents as to their recommendations for the possible calendars. What you have in the packet here for item number 13 is a recommended calendar A and recommended calendar B, which fits all the parameters established by the board and the state. In talking to the constituents, the recommendation would be calendar A, overwhelming at all schools and all to the constituents. Calendar A is quite similar to this year, 2011-12's calendar, with the exception of, I believe, there is a local holiday the day before Thanksgiving rather than what was done this year where we had an extra day at winter break.
Mm-hmm.
But it comes out to the 184 student days that the board has and the 188 work days for certificated staff.
On the calendars I have in my board packet, am I correct in seeing that calendar A and B, they start the same time?
Start the same time. They end one day difference. The mm-hmm. difference would be where the semester break is. On calendar B, the semester break is at winter break, which is a lot of discussion about that. And at the secondary schools who are on semesters, that has been a request for a while. The difference is when you look at calendar B, and if you brought your attention to the middle box at the bottom where you see some numbers in parentheses next to the secondary school's quarters, there is quite a discrepancy in the number of days in first semester and second semester, and that was what caused some issues for the constituents that we were looking at this. We felt that trying to start a week early in August, there wasn't enough advance notice to parents to try to do that for 12-13, so we didn't bring a calendar forward to you for that purpose.
Okay. Does any board member have any questions? No.
I will move A. That's what I'm hearing, that's what fits the parents and the teachers and...
Well,
a couple parents.
Yeah. Because I think I heard secondary prefers the B calendar.
Well, secondary...
Well, since they're here, we definitely have to do A then. Secondary
does prefer the winter break at that time. I think anybody that teaches a semester course, which I don't know if Mr. Brulin still does, would probably tell you that B doesn't really fit when you have that discrepancy of days. Even with the testing, it's about a two-week difference. So B doesn't really fit into what they're laughing about, I don't think. But I might be speaking out of turn.
Well, from what I recall when this came up before us a couple of years ago when we discussed starting a week earlier and having the semester end at winter break, secondary understood that there was a little bit of a discrepancy in the days but actually still preferred that it end at winter break instead of coming back and basically having a week of studying and having finals. I mean, finals for that semester is what I recall from last time. So...
Based on the feedback that I have from the majority of the staffs, it would be calendar A.
With the caveat that next year we look.
Well, when we get to item number 15, yeah, then you'll have a different issue.
But I think
where is the secondary on the calendar?
Calendar A.
Calendar A for
calendar
even
A.
Next year.
For 12-13.
Okay.
For 12-13, but they want to change for 13-14.
Correct.
Because okay. Remember,
when we get to item number 15,
right.
You'll see they changed.
Yeah, because that way
still gonna be calendar
notice.
A,
that way we can give notice to
it will be yeah. A week earlier and ending that winter break.
Hmm.
When we get to item 15, I'll explain all that.
Okay.
And they were saying that they could do like some of the clubs or like the German club, or they could actually go on their trips during that break. Pardon me? If they had trips, they could. But they would be that would make it more feasible in it than if there was 3-week period. That would be excellent.
And I know we're looking at these separately, but I think it's important to note that we wanted to be able to give notice if we were going to move to an earlier start date, and so we wanted to have a year's notice.
Well, that's why we moved to the 2-year calendar, was because of those kinds of issues.
Right. It gives people more advanced notice if we can adopt the calendars 2 years ahead of time, and then next year we'll adopt, go try to adopt 14-15, so we still maintain that 2 years ahead, and then we can establish one calendar a year.
Do you think our secondary staff is capable of dealing with the difficulties of that A calendar if they have a problem with it? Do you think they can do that? Are they competent enough to do that?
To deal with.
Or is it, yeah.
Well, they want the A calendar for 2012-13.
Right.
Because I think they are. I think they're competent enough to deal with it.
Mr. Cox has a question.
Have we discussed or considered at all this idea, especially with this A calendar, with the day before Thanksgiving as well as the day after, also just going through and wiping out that whole week and eliminating, so making the 19th and 20th.
So we take a week off of Thanksgiving week. We have considered that and looked at that. What they felt was then that would add 2 days to the end of the calendar or the beginning of the calendar, so ending on a Tuesday or beginning on a Thursday was not advantageous. We felt that would hurt our attendance, both staff-wise and student-wise, and we basically would lose some of that educational opportunity. We don't feel that we will lose that with this calendar. We don't feel people will take that Monday and Tuesday and or Tuesday off. They look for that one day of travel, which would be the Wednesday, and we do see that Wednesday before Thanksgiving is a lower attendance rate for staff and students than other Wednesdays are. That was one of the things we saw with
so
the Friday
that travel,
Easter.
So won't that now swift shift instead of being now a Wednesday low attendance to a Tuesday low attendance?
I don't believe so. I think that people will still travel at the same time, but they won't have to take the kids out of school to do that.
Are you finished? Mr. Spence.
Did you look at other days that caused epidemics of illness among our staff? Did we do a study to see which days, seem to cause those kind of outbreaks?
We have, and that's part of the reason that when Veterans Day falls on a Tuesday or Thursday, we try to have a local holiday for the Monday or Tuesday, because that was part of the epidemics. One of them was the Friday before Easter, commonly known as Good Friday, mm-hmm. And that's part of the reason that the spring break is the week before Easter. We didn't find that issue the day after Easter on that Monday, but we did find it on Good Friday, and so if you have the spring break during that week, you eliminate that attendance issue. So we have done the studies looking
so
at
people are healthier.
Particular days. Well, they get healthy over mm-hmm. Easter Sunday, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The candy kind of sets in, I guess.
And the marshmallow.
So we have done studies on particular days that reflect around holidays and found that for the most part, they maintain the rate that we see at other days of the week at that time, mm-hmm. with the exception of the day before Thanksgiving, the day around the Veterans Day when it's a Thursday or a Tuesday, and Good Friday. And so we try to avoid those when we can.
Ms. Polis?
I'd prefer not to give a week at Thanksgiving, just for the fact that there's the AP test coming up, and they need as many days to study for that, and those days aren't going to help them at the end of the calendar.
That's true.
Then bring them at the beginning of the calendar.
Start on a Thursday, which nobody seemed to really, well, I shouldn't say nobody. The majority of the people didn't seem.
People study for AP tests. I don't know.
Hmm?
they didn't want to start on a Thursday, which is what that would cause.
If you want
to
have five.
A few days somewhere.
Hmm? If you want a five. If you want five, then five. My nephew is taking a lot more than three or four.
Okay, so we have option A and B before us, and we have a motion from Ms. Pulis to approve option A. Is there a second for that motion? Option A for 2012-13. So is there a second? I will second it.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
Why is it that we had to have the holiday schedule separate from the calendar when we approve it?
The holiday schedule is a separate item because it affects pay and salary. And
right, but we're designating the holidays in our calendar.
I do by asterisk, but we have to adopt them as holidays so that they can get paid for those days as a separate item. It does coincide with either calendar. They're same for either calendar.
Yeah, so if we vote that one down, it messes everything up?
No.
Okay, do all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries 4-0 with one absent. So option A is the calendar for 2012-13.
Well, I move we adopt the 12-13 holiday schedule as presented.
Any second?
Second.
All in favor? Opposed? Motion carries 4-0 with one absent. Okay.
I moved it.
For the adoption, it was Mr. Spence, second by Mr. Cox. Okay. Okay, for the calendar of 2013-14, is there any discussion? Seeing none.
You can only blow it. Okay.
Okay. And for this one, the preferred was option B, correct?
No, actually, the way these are presented, it's option A.
But option A is like the B.
Option
one.
A reflects a week earlier and the semester break at, the semester break at winter break.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
I think I'm going to oppose this item, though.
The only issue I have with this is what's happening in Hacienda La Puente, and I know they're starting earlier than this.
2 days.
But are our parents on board for this? Because I would hate for them to boycott all of our testing.
Go ahead.
Okay. We did the same process with this 13-14 calendar. We found two elementary schools that preferred B. Every other school's parent, constituents, PTA, school site council, ELAC, and any surveys that we did preferred calendar B. They don't feel that the 12th of August is the same as some of the other districts trying to go to, like the week before the 6th, the 5th. And they like that the winter break is the cutoff for the semester. Although it doesn't affect the elementaries, they understood the advantage for the secondaries and felt the 1 week wasn't that much, especially having a year and a half notice to plan vacations.
So you actually meant they prefer A.
They prefer A, with the exception of two schools.
Okay. Any other questions? With that, I will move option A for the 2013-14 school year because it was a calendar I wanted 2 years ago, and I'm glad it's here, and that our stakeholders want it also.
Is there a second? That we will do a good communication during the year, early in the year, so they're aware of the change.
Okay. Is there a second?
I'll second it, and make sure that they all know that with our – when we refurbish the schools, that we now have air conditioning that works. Yes, I mean, because that was one of the concerns they had, that their children were going back in the heat.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries 4-0 with one absent. Okay, the next one is adoption of the 13-14 holiday schedule. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries 4-0 with one absent. Okay. The next item is number 21, the budget revision.